Well, here we are. It's the end of June, June 30th, 2019. Tomorrow we celebrate Canada Day, or Dominion Day as it was once called. And we mark the 152nd anniversary of Confederation, when the British North America Act was signed back in 1867. And you may have noticed in recent weeks that there has been much published in the media about June 6th, since it was the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Now, we don't honor D-Day for the pain and death that took place. We honor D-Day as a symbol of the fight for freedom and for democracy. Days like Canada Day and D-Day serve as a magnificent reminder that we live in one of the freest countries throughout history, where we are able to enjoy great personal liberty, the freedom to live and work where we want, the freedom to worship openly, the freedom to express ourselves. It's an honor and a privilege that we shouldn't take lightly. A few years back, the Toronto Sun actually quoted as saying, "Freedom is Canada's nationality." Now, we read about freedom. We dream about freedom. We rejoice in the notion of freedom. We teach, we advocate for, and we hope for freedom. But what do we really mean by freedom? You see, freedom means different things to different people. We can view freedom as politically, having the opportunity to vote for a particular person or ideas or party, which best represent our views. Closely tied to this is the belief of freedom of speech, where one has the liberty to voice their personal opinion or perspective. Others understand freedom in a financial context, where people seek to free themselves from financial debt. And still others view freedom as simply having the permission or the right to pursue their hopes and their dreams, whatever they may be. These freedoms are important and significant, and I believe they should be encouraged and protected, but they're peripheral freedoms in comparison to spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is the freedom that Jesus promised us. We know that physical freedom wasn't promised if you read about the lives of the apostles. But when Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah, he said that he had come to earth to proclaim freedom. And at another point he said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." In today's scripture, Paul is speaking about freedom in Christ, spiritual freedom in Christ. Does having spiritual freedom in Christ mean that you're allowed to do whatever you want? You see, it's easy to mistake liberty for license. People who yell freedom often really just want to live without accountability for their actions. They want to do what they please instead of what they ought to do. And they use grace to free themselves from such moral restraints so that they can put that moral compass off to the side of their lives. I think that spiritual freedom could be called inside freedom. It's the ability to obey God and choose God's will for our lives. You see, friends, there are limiting influences out there in our lives that affect our choice of how and when God's will be our priority. Some of those influences are actively working against your freedom. Family, genetic heritage, social influences, advertising, propaganda, and the list goes on. Only God can set you free. And when God created us, we were given an amazing freedom. We were given free will. We are people, not puppets. We make choices, and the choices we make shape the contours and the directions of our lives. We can make good choices. We can always make better choices. We have the ability to make choices that change and improve our lives. On the flip side, we can try to blame other people for our poor choices. We can blame God or evil. We can blame our wives or our husbands or even our best friends. But the fact remains that the choices that we make are just that, our choices, and we are responsible for them. So it's easy to see where conflict can enter into our lives, since freedom gives us the opportunity to choose for ourselves. Liberty sort of puts us in the driver's seat, because we have the power to choose. And that freedom does come with consequences. You see, God has created the world in such a way that we have real choices and we have real responsibility for those choices. The big question lies deeper. Why do we choose what we choose, and what are we doing with this freedom? Are we really stuck on having the power to choose? Or are we celebrating the empowerment to change through those choices? God calls us to be free. Why does God call us to be free? Because there's purpose in our freedom. Made in God's image, we are free to simply be in relationship. We're free to simply be in relationship with God and with others. We are to open ourselves to others' needs and put them first. As humans, we are always tempted to put ourselves in the center of our own world, aren't we? Our culture is so often about concern for the unholy trinity, the me, myself, and I. But that's not how we are called to live. What God showed Paul through Christ was a new way to live. Paul learned a kind of law that turned itself inward into service through love, the law of love. Paul is very clear that God is calling people to freedom, not to a lifestyle where anything goes. He says in verse 13, "Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh," which we can translate to self-indulgence or selfish desire. When we choose to live this way, we are not much good to other people. We get into fights. We get into conflicts. Because we're always seeking after self. What can I get out of life? Freedom is not about radical individuality. Freedom is about radical connectedness. A freedom for one another. A freedom that binds our futures together. We have all been set free to serve others in love. Freedom in Christ means liberty to serve others. It's about service. It's not about selfishness. It's about transformation for us to choose helping others instead of always helping self. And it's a freedom that's built on the power to love. The freedom that we have in Christ is essential and it's foundational. A spiritual life based in freedom is a life measured by love. And that's seen in responsibility toward our neighbors. When the Spirit leads us in the walk of love, then we are fruitful and beneficial to others. And that's where God wants us to be, loving and serving with a joyful heart, not out of compulsion, but from a free and willing spirit, which the Holy Spirit gives to us. That's what we are to use our freedom for, to be the people God wants us to be. As we open ourselves to the Holy Trinity and the Holy Spirit within, our actions, our thoughts, and our impulses, they all start aligning with God. See, freedom is rooted in the heart, As we welcome God's amazing grace into our lives, we lean more into the ways of love over self-destruction. And we will see a change in ourselves because our hearts are made new. Our hearts are made new through the Holy Spirit. And in this new heart, it makes us spiritually alive and desiring God's will in our lives. God's intention for the whole world is a transformed humanity where all are welcome in Christ's name. And we're not bound by the world's values, rather by God's values. Paul has made clear that in the church there is to be no division. It's important that we become a community where old barriers, barriers such as class and race and gender and even sexual orientation, that they are overcome. And Paul warned the Galatians and us when he wrote, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Have you ever taken that type of bite? We've all done it. We've hurt, we've discouraged people. We've compared sins of what is better or worse. We say things like, "Well, at least I didn't do that. They did this, and that's worse than anything I could have done." This comparison is a big bite, and it will lead nowhere good. It leads to one person feeling morally superior to others, and others are left feeling that they're never good enough in God's eyes. I've known discouraged people who thought that being Christian was about trying to be good enough. And more than that, I've been there. And what happens is that people, they just give up. They throw in the towel and they say, "Forget it. I can't do it." A friend recently pointed out that there are still people who look at the church and figure they aren't good enough to walk through those doors. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that we've all played a part in making someone feel like that? That's not what we're called to do with this amazing gift of freedom. It involves trust and obedience inside a relationship of love. And it walks hand in hand with our vision of engaging the community. In the beginning of today's scripture, we read, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Friends, the focus is internal, not external. Paul tells individual believers that since they have found this kind of internal freedom in Christ, that they should be determined to remain free, to stand strong against the things that can enslave the heart. These things which enslave the heart are material concerns related to worldly activities and related to personal habits. So how do we not be burdened by the yoke of slavery again? Well, Paul tells us that too. He says that if you have faith, the Spirit will help you live a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we choose to be in a loving relationship with God, the Trinity's power takes over. Our sinful habits, our thoughts, our attitudes, they lose control. Guilt, hatred, and envy disappear. And peace of mind dominates. Right habits become the norm. And we enjoy the amazing freedom we have been given. A life where we are free. A life where we're free to live the life God called us to live. Where we're free to love and serve Christ and others. where we're free to open ourselves to the Spirit to guide us, where we're free to walk the way of Christ, a life where we're free to pray, because conversation builds relationship, a life where we're free to choose God's will for our lives. So tomorrow, when you're celebrating Canada Day with family and friends, may you be thankful for the veterans who fought to bring peace and freedom to us. May you be thankful for the freedom that this great country offers us. And may you remember to be grateful to the one who, like many of our veterans, lived and died, but did so to set us free. The one who called us to be free and gave us spiritual freedom. Thanks be to God.